Blog Talk Radio.
Way back years ago, I was no more than 3 feet tall. My mama played the serious game, and I would just have a ball. What I'm trying to say, she was more than just a friend. The words I love you, she would say, as she kissed me on the chin.
Now about every other day, gentle as a lamb, when he carried me upside down, and I even say today he's still the best man in the town.
Now ain't love wonderful, ain't love bad, ain't love wonderful, it's getting better all the time.
I never will forget, but now a greater love has come, as once again I admit,
now ain't love.
Phoenix, cool. What's up, Phoenix? I hear you talking back there, my brother. How you doing?
Hey, all Phoenix. Is good, my brother. Can't complain.
Can't complain, man.
And if I do, who's gonna listen?
Right? Who cares? Right? That's your problem. But it's all good, man. It's been a long time. I know we took off this last week for Thanksgiving, and what a beautiful blessing it was just to, you know, to be around our friends and family and church members and or whoever it was that you celebrated your time with, you know. But for the most part, it's a family thing, and so we've been gone for a week from the radio. But we kept the station alive, so you guys were able to still, you know, hear some of the live shows that we had, did previously, or pre-recorded shows that we did previously. So, but I just want to just give a shout out to our brothers and sisters around the world. Much love to all you guys, and thank you so much for tuning in to Solar Records Radio. We pray that God has been with you and blessed you and kept you. And to my brothers and sisters around the world that don't celebrate Thanksgiving, you know, it's just a time of that we do here just to be grateful for the gifts and the opportunities and the blessings that we've gotten. But there's some history also in regards to this, and so I don't really dwell on that part of it, but I do enjoy the part of just getting together and being grateful to God for blessing us and taking care of us and keeping us throughout the year. And look, we're still here, and so what a beautiful blessing it is, because every moment to me is a gift, and it's an opportunity as well. And so we're going to take this opportunity and chop it up with you today in regards to our topic. And our topic is about getting a gift that you don't deserve. And so I do want to welcome to the show also my sister Laura. Hey, Laura.
Hi.
How are you there?
I am great. How are y'all?
Phoenix is Laura. Laura is Phoenix. All right.
Hi.
We're good, sweetheart. So it's nice to get, like, different perspectives on this. And so that's why I asked Laura if she would come in and chop it up
Excellent.
With us in regards to this. And so I wanted to just kind of started off with what happened to me, and that really motivated this topic, because I feel so crushed. I felt so little. I felt so small in this moment, that I should have been full of joy. And so it was a gift that I didn't deserve. And it goes like this. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving with the family, and we all had a great time. And so it was time to go home. And out here in Texas, it was raining like cats and dogs. It was all day long. It was raining. And that's right, Phoenix, you're in Texas now. And so with the weather was bad, so I was just kind of glad to get, you know, go home. And we're only around the corner. We live, you know, around the corner from my brother-in-law. We were at his place. And so we get home, and we go in and get the wet clothes off the dogs and feed the cats, and everybody's good. And my wife says, I got to go somewhere. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's dark outside. You're not going, and it's raining. She's like, but I got to do something for the church. The church needs me to it's a thing. I got to take this plate to this couple. And I said, well, did they ever respond? I know you tried to get in touch with them earlier. And she was like, no, they, I said, well, call or text them again and see what's going on, because it's just see if they could, it's late now, so maybe you could take it tomorrow. And so I said, because it's late and it's dangerous. I don't want you going out there. And so she says, well, they never responded, but they did respond to my text just now and said that they hadn't gotten the food. No one brought them food. And so I was like, oh my God. I said, okay, well, listen, I'll go take the food. I said, I don't want you out there. It's too dangerous. I'll just take, just give me the stuff. So she gave me the stuff. I got in my car. I was frustrated and angry and, you know, because I just wanted to be where I wanted to be. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And I got in the car with the food, and I drove over, you know, only maybe 40 minutes, 35, 40 minutes, and get there. And I knock on the door, and I'm frustrated still, and, you know, knock on the door, and the lady opens up the door, and she's just this beautiful, sweet, older lady. And I said, I believe this is for you. And this is the transition. And as I'm giving it to her, and she looks up to me and said, thank you so much. And my heart started crying, and I was like, well, you're welcome. And so that there was a transfer right there, that where she was giving me a gift of love and appreciation that I did not deserve at all, because I went there with anger and frustration, didn't want to do that, didn't want it. But when she did that, once that happened, I felt like the little creep. I felt so little. And I was, and all the way to 40 minutes home, I was just, you know, just so disappointed in myself, because I was not able to meet the moment the way that I believe that God wanted me to meet the moment as a Christian, as a man of God, as someone who supposedly loves God. And, you know, I'm a part of a church, and I'm a worship leader, and look at me. I did not deserve that gift. And it was a beautiful gift. This lady, you could just see it in her eyes. And so I was like, how could I fail myself? You know, the moment of that. And so I realized that that's happened quite a few times in my life. And so do you guys have any experiences that you may want to share? Let's let the lady go first, Phoenix, if that's okay with you,
sure.
In regards to that. Or if you have any comments about what I just said, y'all, well, either one of y'all are welcome to talk about that.
Well, Laura? I mean, I think we've all kind of been there. We've all been there some way, in some form. I know I've been there with my son too, you know, the same kind of situations where I'm annoyed and I'm frustrated and he wants me to do something for him or with him, and I don't feel like it, but, you know, of course I'm a parent and I do it, and I don't know, he gives me a hug and he's like, thank you, mommy, or something like that, and it might feel bad for being frustrated with him, you know? So we all have situations like that. Unfortunately, we just do when we're human and we have our own desires for the moment. And once we feel like someone intrudes on that, it, you know, but there's lots of things that I've had in my life that are gifts to me that I fully did not deserve. You know, physical gifts, my grandparents, when I was 16, they gave me a car, and I didn't deserve that. I did nothing to earn that car. I didn't work for them. I didn't earn anything to get that car. And it was a full loving gift from them, as well as, you know, they helped have us a place to stay whenever me and my husband had my child. You know, these are physical gifts that, you know, I was very undeserving of. I had done nothing. I had no work that made me deserving of that. But then, you know, to go into cliche, then there's also the the non-physical things of my life, which is my husband and my son. You know, they are incredible gifts to me. And it's just, how are any of us truly deserving of things like this? In a way, you know, we all fail in a lot of ways, and it's hard to feel deserving of wonderful things that we get in our life. I don't feel I deserve my husband. I don't feel I deserve my son, but I'm eternally grateful for them. You know, my husband is one of those amazing people. You know, he would lay down his life for me, and I know that. I just know that factually. My husband is a husband who would lay his life down for me, and he does it in so many ways every day. And my son, he was a miracle to us. We didn't think we could have children. And we were actually already looking into adoption. And lo and behold, I, you know, found out I was pregnant, and we love this child. We are so grateful for this child, especially because we didn't think we could have any, you know.
Wow, yeah, that's powerful. But let me just ask you, like, why would you think that you are not deserving of the gift of your husband and your child?
Well, I guess in some ways I compare works, my husband's works, to my works. I feel I think it's a good thing to feel deserving of, you know, your loved ones, and of course, but I feel like I've done so many things wrong in my life. You know, I've made so many wrong decisions. I've failed at so many things. I fail every day at something, at least one thing every day. And so when I have such a wonderful gift of such a loving husband and a wonderful child, I'm not sure who would be deserving of them, to be honest. I'm just because to me they are so wonderful.
But, now, do you also? I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this question. Like, is it something that you can just say, I'm grateful, even though I may feel I don't deserve them, but I'm very grateful.
Every day, I am grateful, because every day, some kind of moment happens with both of them, where I'm like, I'm so lucky. I am so blessed. And that instant happens, and it kind of knocks me over sometimes of just how grateful I am for them.
Well, yeah, I think you're deserving because God thinks you're deserving. I mean, he made that happen. Right. He made that happen. And so a lot of times I think we get in the way with our own insecurities, right? Our own fears of what we don't do or what we're incapable of doing, or, you know, like we punish ourselves. We're so good at that. You know, we put ourselves down. I could do better, you know, or I'm thinking of the wrong thing, or I'm angry and I shouldn't be angry. Look how much that person loves me. And I think sometimes we have to get out of our own way.
I agree. I just want to say, you know, no matter what, I still don't feel that we're deserving, but we should be grateful and understand this is God wanted me to have this husband. God wanted me to have this son. Whether I feel I am deserving or not, and whether I am, you know, deserving of that, it doesn't matter. God has them in my life and has me in theirs for a reason, for his purpose.
Amen.
And that's all that matters.
There you go. That is the bottom line. And, you know, the most important thing is that we recognize that we recognize this,
yes.
Right? Yeah,
know,
we need to make sure.
A grateful heart,
yes,
is important,
mm-hmm,
because it keeps us in the right. Because if I wasn't grateful for them, I would be even more undeserving, because then I'm not doing my best for
right.
them. Whether
there
I feel like my best is good enough is not the point. The point is, still doing my best, regardless,
right,
for them that I can.
Amen.
And you're not going to be able to do that if you're not grateful as well.
Yep. Yep. Amen. That's great. That's great. Thank you. Phoenix?
Yes, sir. You know, just listening on, the first thing I would like to underscore is that a gift is a gift. And what that means in a very generic way, you have nothing to do with it. You know, when you receive a gift, you're either going to receive it, you're going to accept it, or you're going to reject it. But you had nothing to do with the gift. And that's what defines you in the moment. I'm listening on, you know, various things, and you may decide that you didn't deserve it. You know, you know how I feel about spiritual things. I know that many of our listeners are on various paths. And let's just face it, you know, some of us are and some of us aren't. But the idea is maybe you do deserve it. Maybe you don't. So perception becomes everything. But the best thing is it's a gift. And you had nothing to do with it. And that's what I've enjoyed most about listening to your particular stories, is that in each case, like in the first case, Wardell, you felt angry, you felt that you should have been better, you felt that you were a minister, and you felt that somehow you could have dealt with it better. But guess what? What I've listened and learned from your particular experience was you had a changing in an instant. That was the
Uh-oh. We just lost him. He'll call back in. I can hear he's moving. He's moving. But yeah, that was for me, it was an awakening. I did so accepting that part is a gift as well. That right there is a gift as well, that I acknowledged the fact that something had happened, that there was this beautifulness that came from this lady, that really, it was another gift. It was like, you know, because I was able to acknowledge her. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. And so I was able to acknowledge her and acknowledge what God was doing through her. And it really is a blessing for us to be able to see, you know, what God is doing. And I, then that way we can go ahead.
No,
go ahead,
sorry,
Laura.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's okay. We have a five-second delay. Sorry.
I just loved his point about a gift is perception. A gift is a gift. Regard, you know, you don't have to do anything for it. And that is such an amazing point that I really hope everyone, you know, can hear and get, regardless of their religious standing, you know.
Right.
Because I think that a lot of people can go into turmoil in their lives about if they're deserving of things or not deserving of things. And I think some of the biggest point is, you know, if you don't, no one, I feel like, fully believes that they're deserving.
Right. And I apologize for losing the signal. You're absolutely right, dear. You're absolutely right. And I just wanted to make one additional assertion to what you're saying, is that many times often it's been my humble experience to find that people, humans, the human endeavor, the human experience, we're tougher and rougher on us than God has ever been. Sometimes, like I heard Wardell use an expression that I use all the time, get out of the way of yourself. You know, we start pontificating. That's where you get the word pontiff. We start evaluating, recreating, reconstituting. And God is probably looking at us and shaking his head and saying, why are they going through all those machinations? I love you. I see your imperfections, but I see you perfectly. And so we're so busy judging ourselves where it's not necessary. You know, I loved when you talked about your son and you talked about your husband. I heard humility. And sometimes they say we have to look at things as God looks at things. He wants us to be humble. So I didn't hear you accepting the gift, rejecting the gift. I heard a woman, well-poised, that demonstrates humility. What a beautiful, virtuous quality to develop is humility.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful thing. So, you know, you want to amen to that. That's something to amen to, because I heard your beauty come through your humility. And I was completely away from whether you accepted it or rejected the gift, because on the onset, I realized you had nothing to do with the gift. Nothing. You know, even our children, people get all, you know, men, I remember when I first had my daughter, I'm beating my chest, I'm a father, I'm passing around a cigar, which I almost died from because I don't smoke, but I was trying to do the macho thing. And then I realized, guess what? You had nothing to do with that child. And I tell you why you know that, because you have to ask the doctor, what do we have? If you were all of that in a bag of chips, you would know what the doctor, oh, no, it's a girl. Oh, no, she's got dark hair, she's got light eyes, she's got light skin, dark skin. You had all you did was participate in the grander scheme of things. So you're not completely out of the equation. You know, you're a steward to what God has created, but you didn't create anything. That's why it's a gift. You had nothing to do with, even the mama. Well, I'm the mama. I brought you into this world, child. I'll take you out. No, you can't. Because it's a gift. And even the government, they don't have to be religious, spiritual. You touch a hair on that child's head, you're going underneath the jail. Because legally, the child is not yours. Now it's a child of the state. And the state comes in and says, wait a minute, you're disrespecting the child of the state. We have a problem with that. I'm the mama. Well, okay. But we're back to the concept of a gift. It's a gift that you had nothing to do with it. So in conclusion to my little discourse here is to don't be so hard on yourself. Look at things the way God looks at things, and he sees your beauty. He sees you're a mother. He sees you're a minister. He sees you're imperfectly perfect. You know, and He's probably laughing. I know I would if I was God. I said, that daggone Wardell, listen to him. You know, I sent him over there just to teach him a lesson, and he didn't realize what the real gift was. Like, calm down, son. It's all good.
And, you know, in that, I totally agree with all you're saying. It's all perception. It's just a gift. But, you know, when we're talking about seeing it through God's eyes, sometimes
right.
It's hard. Sometimes it's hard to see through
Absolutely.
God's eyes because there's so many things we don't understand. There's things we can't see.
Right.
If y'all remember the story of Job, whenever Job is crying out
right.
and praying to him, and what does God do?
Right.
He shows them all of these intricacies of the world and says, can you run this for just one day?
Right.
And
that's
so
what makes it beautiful.
My job is not to
that's
question
what makes it
God.
Beautiful.
My, yeah.
Right.
And
because we're all at different levels, it's almost like, did your grandmother ever make salad dressing for you? I'm talking about real salad dressing. Puts in the oil and she puts in the oregano and she puts in the very things. And she puts it on her salad and you kind of take your time and you go to make your salad. You got to shake it up again because you can see the varied levels of where that salad resides at. And we're kind of like that spiritually. We're like the seasoning and the salad. We're at different levels. But guess what? We're still a part of the dressing. And it's
mm-hmm.
about your appreciation. You know, sometimes people use the expression within God's arrangement. You may not be the roses. You might be the angel hair outside around the roses. You might be the green leafy stuff, which I don't even know what that is. I'm not a botanist. But you're still a part of the arrangement. And you're still beauteous within the arrangement of the flowers. And that's how the Creator looks at us. That's what I've learned in my humble appreciation of Him. And that goes into the gifts of colors. That goes into the gifts of territory. We have a lot of our friends that are from the UK. They represent. We have those that are from down under and so forth.
South Africa.
I'm in Texas now, South Africa. And we're all beautiful within this arrangement, and we all have something to contribute, no matter where we reside in God's salad dressing. We're a part of the dressing. We're a part of the participation, whether you're a mother, a father, an uncle. You're tied to the genetic value of your child, and everybody gets a part, a place to participate if they're moving in perfect synchronicity or even in their own imperfections, because the whole topic of our discussion today, which is really beautiful, it's a gift. You know, one minute, you know, I know one minute I was just a father, and then the next minute my daughter called me and she says, hey, Dad, you're about to be a granddad. Oh, really? Well, don't have them call me granddad. You better call me Poppy J. I thought I was too cool for school, you know.
Hey, okay, listen, I have a question for both of you from the listeners. The question is a gift real or is it just a perception? Laura?
Very interesting.
Phoenix,
that, I mean, it's interesting. We take in a gift in our own perception of, you know, but let's say a gift, a physical gift that someone gives us. That is a gift. We can perceive it as a good gift, a not good gift, a gift we're deserving of or not deserving of or whatever. There's lots of perceptions around the gift, but a gift is a gift is a gift.
That's right.
All right.
You know, a perception is also a part of presentation. One of the things during the holiday season why families like to go to a fine restaurant, because they want the presentation to give them a feeling. You know, we can take that same food and put it in a Vitamix and blend it. It's the same food, but that's not what you had in mind. You wanted to see the presentation of the food. So part of perception is presentation, who you're in company with, who is partaking of the gift, because many times, often, the gift is shared, like we talked about a child. You're the mama, but there's the papa, there's the sister, there's the uncle, there's an aunt, there's a relative, there's a neighbor. They share in the gift. So
yeah,
the answer to that question can come in multiplicities, because it just depends on the presentation. It depends on the awareness and the perception of the presentation, and whether or not you are of the sort at that particular time mentally to receive it. So there's a lot going, like they say, there's a lot of moving parts.
Like, yeah, because let's go back to Wardell's situation. Do we think that lady perceived her genuine thank you and smile as a gift to him? I don't believe she thought that.
No. Nope.
I believe she thought she was thanking him for his gift. But
right.
To
face
him,
value. Right.
It is, he put value in her thank
right.
you.
Right.
Her thank you
if she would have just snatched the package and said, thank you, see, that would have been a different presentation. See, that would have been more fast food. But the way she received it, it was gourmet. It was excellent. It completely changed Wardell's perception because of her presentation. And he walked away feeling probably like, oh, man. You know?
To her, she was receiving a gift. And she was saying
correct.
Thank you. She being grateful for a gift she felt she received.
Right.
And it was a gift
correct.
To Wardell. Her thankfulness,
right.
her gratefulness was a gift to him.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder
correct.
If God feels that way about us. If he
absolutely.
Feels that our gratefulness is a gift, you know,
damn.
To him.
Let me tell
yeah.
you something. Many times I'll read a scripture. Right, I love scriptures. I love
mm-hmm.
God's sayings, proverbs, etc. And scriptures are like the facets of a diamond in a beautiful wedding ring. It depends on where you're sitting in the room. You're going to get a
mm-hmm.
different shine because God's words are multifaceted. And gifts are multifaceted. In the case of Wardell, he received a gift. She added to the perception of the gift and the presentation. And she was just, you know, she demonstrated her facets, her shine, was that she was just humble. She was grateful. She took that package and it was gratitude oozing all over her. And that
yeah.
in itself is a gift, because she didn't fall off
mm-hmm.
the truck being a kind of person who had those accoutrements. She was
yeah.
a person throughout the course of her life, these were learned responses to receiving a gift. And so we come back full circle. The gift, you had nothing to do with it, but did you cherish it? Did you nurture it? Did you receive it? Did you bless it? Did you continue to pass on the reciprocal qualities of the gift? Now it gets dimensional. And that, to me, is what the Creator is. It's like the diamond in the woman's wedding ring. It's like a scripture that you read, that you read 1,000 times. And then one day somebody reads it and you go, I never thought about it like that. That's a different facet to the scripture that's shining on you because you're receiving the gift from a different presentation. Beautiful. Love it.
Man, you know, you guys are making me emotional thinking about this lady, because, you know, just think about it. The whole day it went by. It was evening, and they had her and her husband had nothing to eat all day. And so here I am angry with a full stomach. Right. And warm and cozy. And I'm angry. And but I'm protecting my wife and saying I'll deliver it. And I'm wondering if God was telling me, no, you're going to take it. because you need to learn something from this attitude that you have, mister. And when I got, as soon as the door opened and my eyes connected to her eyes, I felt the transfer of, whoa, this is crazy what I'm feeling now. I went from being angry to being like on my knees. Like, I'm so sorry that I was so selfish that I didn't even think about what you were going through. I only thought about what I was going through and how selfish, how disgusting I felt in that moment. Like, it was all about me. I made it about me and not what this lady and her husband, who's bedridden, was going through. And so, and she was so gracious and was so beautiful and kind. And so, man, oh, man. Woo, why are y'all still talking about this part? It's just, woo.
You know, I want to remind you, though, this is a wonderful thing that happened, you know, a wonderful lesson, a growth moment, if you will. But God doesn't want you to dwell on the negative of this. He wants you to learn and grow, but he doesn't want you to dwell. Dwelling is, you know, dwelling in the past. He doesn't want this. That's not what
yeah, I definitely recognized that there was something real powerful, something that he wanted me to see. I got it, and I just thank him for that. There was something, another thing that was from the overseas. Always remind yourself about what you have. Gratitude is the attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Always remind yourself of what you have attitude.
You know.
Go ahead.
I was.
Go ahead, Laura.
It's a grateful heart. You know, I have anxieties in my life, just general anxieties, regular anxieties. But something that really helps combat an anxious heart is a grateful heart. Being grateful and knowing and trusting in God past all understanding, you know. Those are really important tools I have in my life that help me through the day.
Yes.
It just makes it easier to be your best self if you're being grateful.
Okay, this is a question for both of you. Is the fact that we have choices a gift, but what we do with the choices is up to us and how we are rewarded? I'm sorry, it's just moving around here as I'm reading. So do you need me to read that again? I don't think it's a question. It's more of a statement.
I think the question was, their choices, but it's up to us to choose which choice, and then that in turn leads us to whatever reward it may be.
At the end of the day. Phoenix? Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Choices, you know. The beautiful thing is that we're not robots. We're created in God's image, but we're free moral agents. And what makes us part of his arrangement as a beautiful bouquet of flowers, we all have a different position, a different facet. And the interconnecting part are the choices we make. We see some people are successful. Some people are not successful. Some people during the holiday season, they say, hey, you know what? After the season, I'm going to go on a diet. They may prove to be successful midsummer. Some may not be able to fit in the bathing suit because it's a choice. And those choices will predetermine or dictate, in a sense, the outcome. But that's what makes it beautiful, is that we're free moral agents. We all have choices. Hopefully we make the right choices. And that's something that God has given all of us, to be free moral agents with the ability to choose, even the ability to choose to serve him or not. God never forced us to do anything. It's just like, you know, you guys, I believe, everyone that's in the discussion, we're parents. Can you imagine forcing your child, you're going to love me? That child will probably look at you and just start busting out laughing. You know, you will present yourself as a parent that's lovable. In my case, I was the lovable parent, but I also was the disciplinarian. I was Mr. Mom. My kids love me. My teenage daughter, she used to go hang out with me to go get clothes. And some of my other buddies would say, your daughter wants to go shopping with you? That's weird. We go to the movies. We check out Marvel because it was a presentation. You know, and when my daughter left, there was a hole that was left in my heart because that was my buddy. That was my navigation. You know, we'd drive. She was the one in the co-pilot. No, Dad, you're going the wrong way. Okay. I did not have navigation down. But you see where I'm going with this? It's a beautiful thing to have choices.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, because you have – yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Laura. No, that's great.
I just love choices in parenting and things like that. You know, we all have choices in parenting and the way we parent, and I in no way judge anyone's parenting or what they do. I personally, I think I'm more of what you would call a gentle parenter, but that was my choice to be. We don't take my child. By no means do we spare the rod. We punish, we have natural consequences. He gets correction. But we are communicators first. We speak with him first. And in that way, in those choices, and in being examples of that, those choices they influence his choices. So whenever he has a choice between coming to us, telling us the truth, talking to us, or not, when it comes to me, at least he does. He chooses to communicate with me because this is what I have shown him as being an example of a parent, and that was my choice. You know, we can only give our kids what we ourselves have. Like, they can develop things later, but we can't give them skills unless we have those skills ourselves.
Right.
All right. All right, we look like we have another guest. My co-host, Mr. Don Fleming, is on the line. What's up, Don?
Hey, how you doing? I'm good, man. It's a little rainy, a little foggy, but I am on the road listening to the show. How you guys doing?
All right.
Great.
All right.
Great.
All right. We got Laura in Phoenix on the line. So. Anyway, Don, you have any thoughts that you might want to share? Is that in regards to this gift?
You know,
that
I'm listening
deserve?
To, you know, I'm sorry, I had a little disconnect. I think, you know, what you guys have added to the conversation, I think it helps me, even though I'm not a quote-unquote parent. You know, I think when you think about, and please tell me if I'm off tangent or not, when you talk about, you know, certain disciplinarian type factors when it comes to being a parent, you know, later on in life, you feel like do you feel I'm asking, you know, this is basically a question to all you guys, and please jump in if you can, especially Phoenix, man. I know Phoenix has a few words on this. When you are in that parenting mode, even at the child, when that person's the child and they grow up and they go to college, or they, you know, all of these things that they accomplish in life, do you automatically feel like you're getting that gift, is that pat on the back, that proverbial pat on the back, or you're just like, look, I just did what I had to do. I don't look for accolades behind it. It just happened that way. I've always wanted to know that when it came to parenting. You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm asking?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me answer real quickly because I have a real simple answer to that, and then I'll let you know. Phoenix gets into deep details, and then Laura, she comes from a different perspective as well. But for me,
yeah,
when it comes down to that, this is I'm gonna break it down so simple for people that don't have children. It's like making an air. You know how you get your paper airplane, and you mm-hmm. put it together, and then you take it and you throw it and it flies so good and it goes a long ways. And then you feel so good at the end of the day because you're like, I did that. Yes, I put that together. And it was great. And you feel good about it. So with my children, you know, it's a two-way street. You know, we do our part, right, to help them along, but they got to do their part. They got to do their part, and you know, and so when they do their part, and we do our part, and it all works out great, I feel a sense of accomplishment more for them. I'm proud of them for doing their part more so than, you know, like I feel proud for myself. I'm more proud for them doing their part. So anyway, so that's my answer.
Mm-hmm.
Laura.
Yeah. Am I next?
Yeah.
So I have at this moment I have a different perspective. I mean, not different, but I just, my child's not grown. He's only 6 years old. So I don't know what it is to have a child grown and out in the world and seeing them thrive. I don't know that yet. But I look at my son every day and I'm seeing the choices he makes. And I wonder, okay, what in my parenting is influencing those choices? They are still his choices. Whether he wants, you know, whether he really decides to sit there and pay attention in class and do his homework, you know, he's a kid that really does, he's fine with coming home, sitting down, and doing his homework. I look at what have I done to help influence these choices, and what if it's a negative choice, what do I need to correct as a parent to guide him away from these negative choices? And if it's a good choice, okay, how do I continue to build this into his character? You know, what I look at what my actions do that influence him. But he's his own person. He makes his own choices. Just, you know, this is God sees us. We're our own person. We're our own person. We make our own choices. But God definitely has an influence and a guidance for us.
Yeah.
And so I don't look at it as, oh, this is something I've done right. Or I do sometimes, though, look at things if he has made a negative choice. I'm like, oh, I've done something wrong if he's made that choice. It's hard not to see that.
Yeah.
But when he's making good choices,
then again, he's six.
I just feel proud of him.
Yeah, yeah, he's six.
Well, interestingly, if you teach a child principles, you know, mm-hmm. it's even bigger than a choice. You teach them
mm-hmm.
principles. And once mm-hmm. they learn and grasp, because they too, you know, people think, like you mentioned, he's six. There's children that are 8 months old. Do you know that they can be principled? You know, they're watching you. And, you know, you ever come up to a baby in the crib and they're looking up at the mobile that's spinning? They're watching that mobile deeper than you think they are. They're absorbing principles. They might grow up to be a scientist based on the fact that they're looking at these symbols or structures floating, and they're completely engrossed in the process. So if you teach a child right from wrong, fact from fiction, you teach them
mm-hmm.
principles of telling the truth. You teach them principles like I was just recanting a principle my dad taught me as a baby. I sat on his lap and there was a lamp. There was a light in the kitchen that was circular. It was round, cylindrical. And he pointed up to the light and he said, "What is that, son?" I said, "It's a light." He said, "No, it isn't." He snapped at me. You know, my dad had a very commanding voice. No, it isn't. It's the moon. And I looked at him. He said, so what is it? I said, it's a light. He asked me again. He said, it's the moon, I said. What is it? And I was shaking. I was almost going to pee on him. But I stuck to my, I said, Dad, it's a light. He said, very good, son. Don't you ever allow, that's the principle, of someone to intimidate you and make you do something wrong when you know it's wrong and you know what's right. That was the principle. And you know what?
Oh.
I'm 64 years old now. That's still ingrained. It's inculcated in me because I don't care what. Like my mother would tell me, I don't care if those kids are standing on their heads because we lived across the street from the school. She said, don't ever let me catch you doing what those other kids are doing because maybe their parents are not going to give them corporal punishment when you come home. Let me tell you, I might let you go, but Dad's going to tear your backside up. And I knew there were consequences for my actions, so I learned principles. And to just cap it, I'm the only one in my family that's spiritual. I don't want to say religious because there's different interpretations of religion. None of them go to any organized church. No, they're basically scientists. They're money people. They kind of always look down their nose at me. And that's why, if you notice, when I speak on the show, I never judge anybody. I don't care what you do. I don't care what your relationship is. I know it's not my place. So my own perception on matters, which we've been talking about a little bit, I know everybody's at different stations in life. Now, I hope that I set a good example. That's all I can do with my
day. Amen.
It's been a good example. That's all I can do. I'm really powerless. I can't do anything. And I did it even with my kids. I remember my oldest daughter, she had a problem lying. And she'd come home and she would lie like a rug. And honestly, it offended me. It really tore at our relationship. But one day I got smart. When she lied to me, I said, really, is that the best you could come up with? If I was you, if you're going to tell a lie, you should have said thus, thus, thus. She started cracking up. She said, oh, wow, Daddy, that is a good lie. I said, yeah, you're not even good at lying. If you're going to lie, lie is a, you got to come up with something more creative than that. Did you think I was going to buy that garbage? And that really drew us closer. So you can see just by that example, it just depends on what you're willing to, how you're willing to walk in your truth is what makes you authentic. You ain't always going to get it
yeah.
right. But how are you going to walk in your truth, in your authenticity?
All right.
Hopefully I stole that lesson from your father for my son.
Yeah, that's a great lesson. I've had a couple of my buddies use it, and they've had excellent. And don't get mad if he fails. If he fails, sometimes they do,
to be honest,
don't get mad at him, but help him understand. Yeah, help him understand why he should. That's the main point.
To be honest, my son's actually very good about what he feels is right or wrong, or like if the teacher is saying to do something, that's what they're supposed to do. And I've taught him, because I've been at his classroom, if another classmate is not doing it correctly, he's correcting them.
Correct.
And which isn't always great, but you know, but he has his he does have foundational things, but we also have to know that, like, I know I'm not the only source of this in his life. He has his father, he has our other family members, he has his church family who is a wonderful influence to him. I mean, I think one of the best choices I made as a parent is allowing so many people to be so involved with him, you know, because he has so many different people from different walks of life and different perceptions, and he learns from all of them. And he has a wonderful curiosity and love for God. That is something I do have to say. I'm proud that whatever I have done to influence that in his life, I am proud of that. He preaches to his fellow classmates at school. He's 6 years old. He was doing this in pre-K. He was telling them about God and how God's in your heart, and God's everywhere like the wind. You can't see him, but you can feel him. And he was telling all of his classmates this, and one of his classmates tells him, no, God's not in your heart. And he would get mad. He would be like, no, he is. God is in your heart if you want him to be in your heart. And he asked his teacher, like, is God in your heart? And she was like, yes, God's in your heart. He's like, I was right, Mom. He's in your heart. And if you want him in your heart, he's in your heart. And the other day he was asking me, he's like, Mom, he was trying to get the holidays right because it was around Thanksgiving. He's like, is Easter Jesus' birthday? And I said, no. Christmas is when we celebrate Jesus. Easter is when we celebrate him dying on the cross for our sins. He's like, oh, okay. But what do eggs and bunnies have to do with Jesus dying on the cross and rising again?
Thank
he,
you.
He has this wonderful curiosity and and knowledge of God.
And if I can just insert something for you as a parent, don't stop that curiosity, because you know I could get into a 2-hour discourse about what your son said, but I take away an immense appreciation for this young person that I've never met, because the question that he asked is genuine. And that's another lesson I learned from Dad. He said, a question is a good question if it's your question. And what happens is, unfortunately, sometimes people shape the answer to the question, but they didn't solve the riddle. What your son is looking for is truth and authenticity. And what that requires of you, perhaps, is to look up Easter, to look up its original origins. You may be surprised. And then as you backpedal into it, you'll say, oh, shoot, out of the mouth of babes. This kid is pure. He's pure in his thought process. And you know what? I've never met him, but I've had the pleasure of speaking with you. The fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. It's in you. It's in you.
There you go.
You are a
great,
you know, I perceive you to be an amazing mother. You sound beautiful, so I'm sure you physically look beautiful. And your son probably thinks you're a goddess. I know, I thought of my mother that way. You say something about my mom, it was on and popping. Because to me,
absolutely,
my mother was a goddess.
Yes.
You could say whatever, but not mom.
So
I defend her to the
son,
end of time.
My son is a very, very loving child. He frequently loves and dotes on me, but I do feel a large part of that is because it's what he sees his father does. His father dotes on me, and because of that influence of the man in his life doting on the woman of his life, he does the same. And I'm grateful for that, because my son has that kind of influence of, that's the kind of husband hopefully he'll be one day.
And every time I, you know, I'm playing drums and I go to sit in my seat, her son is sitting next to my wife. Lord, I have competition with him. Man, that's my wife. But anyway, so listen, I just want to say, guys, you know, we only have 1 minute left in the show. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in and sharing their thoughts. I really appreciate you guys. I'm going to just read this last question from overseas. And it says, does everyone think that they have made the best of the gift of life, of their gift of life? You guys feel like you've done?
Unilaterally, across the board, no. There's always a room.
But we're still
there's always a room,
right?
And it's called improvement. No.
Improvement.
But that's what makes life worthwhile.
We're still working on it.
So, yeah, I'm a work in progress.
The goal is to just always do better.
Always
do
better. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate all you guys. God bless you, and thank you again. Phoenix, I'll be talking to you soon since you moved to Texas now, but you're getting ready to go down. You've been going down under in a couple of weeks. Were you going to Australia?
I'm going to New Zealand. I'm going to New Zealand as an ambassador to the king there. It's a weighted thing, bro, and it's like, you know, my life has brought me to this point, and talk about a gift. That's a whole nother story, but it's a beautiful one.
All right. Well, I'll be talking to you before you leave, and many blessings,
yeah, yeah,
man, and safe travels. And
you
right there. He's Laura. He's only in Houston right now, so he's getting closer to us. So
yeah,
I'm gonna get him to come to church. All right, guys. Well,
good. I'll get to church sometime.
Yeah, you get to meet him. All
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, and Don Fleming, he's just up there. He's up north over there in Little Rock. He's just going to have to get him to just shoot on down here. He's only about 6 hours away.
We're not
going to
give him no shade. We're not going to give him no shade.
And much love from Greg to all you guys. I will go ahead on and play another song, and we're getting ready to go to the next part of the show. So many blessings. Thank
Excellent.
You guys again.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much.
You'll have a good
All right.
day.
All right. You guys
you
too.
Too.
Thank you, Laura. Love
All
you.
Right.
All right, Alexander O'Neill, my gift to you.
It's that time. Christmas music.
Yes, it is that time, and I can't wait to see. Don, I told you I would like a gray, if you're going to get me a car, a gray one.
Okay. Okay. Done. Done and done.
Done deal. I can't wait. Can't wait. Oh, man. I remember being a kid and so excited about Christmas and getting just so crazy. And every, you know, it's cold outside. The snow is all on the ground. And the Christmas tree, we had several different types of trees. Sometimes we'd have the silver one. And then he had the light that would spin in front of it. And the light had all these different colors. And it would light up the tree. And I'm just a kid, right? We're just children. And it's just this emotion, this moment of love and happiness and joy and just fun. And it was just such a great time as a kid for me, just celebrating Christmas, man. And I just... children, because it's such a wonderful gift. It was a wonderful opportunity. It presented itself very well, and I enjoyed it so much, and it affected my whole life, so that when I had children, I tried to provide the same thing for them. But I remember those moments, and Don, I was anticipating it so much that on Christmas Eve, I would sneak downstairs to see if they opened up the gifts yet. You know, let's see what we got. I would say, get down.
You ever punch like a little hole in the present and said to Don or to Wardell or whatever? You'd be like, oh, that's just for me.
Them.
So you pretend like you just tear it just a little bit so they don't notice.
Right.
You'd be like, oh,
right.
Wait a minute, I got a Nintendo. Nice. I'm gonna play it off. So Christmas morning, I'll be like, "Oh my God, thank you so much!"
They should have tricked us and put the other name on there. Put my sister's name.
My grandmother used to say, "Don't let Santa catch you because he'll put pepper in your eye."
Ah.
She used to tell me that.
God. That's bad.
She used to tell me that. I said, you little evil old woman. I'm joking. But no, she used to say that to me, you know. But Santa Claus would put pepper in your eye. And I'm like, wait a minute, why are you slandering Santa's good name like that?
Well, she was just trying to make you act right because she knew how we were.
I know.
I was a mischievous
kid.
Yeah, she could see it in your eyes, brother. But anyway, guys, so here we are. We are on our way to Christmas now, right? We are on the other side of Thanksgiving, and December is here right around the corner. And so, you know, and it's on. And so it's the fourth quarter in business, you know, most businesses are shutting down already. They start shutting down in November. So, because in December, they're done. They want to make sure, okay, we got the accounting, everything's done for the rest of the year. We're done. Everybody's planning on getting out of there and going to do their thing. And I would just pray that you guys take care of your employees. Please bless them. Please be good to them. You know, I hear these stories about all these people getting laid off. The companies, these big companies are just laying people off and all these strikes are going on and it's just ugly. And so I just, you know, when you get to have the power, man, to do the right thing, please do the right thing. I mean, you know, what's that Twitter, the guy, I mean, how many people, half the workforce is gone? That's ridiculous.
That's a story. That man, that whole situation has been some a cluster bang. You know, it's just the fact that Elon Musk. That's who you're talking about.
He laid off half the workforce.
And let's talk about. There's also racial discrimination suits at Tesla. And, you know, so he's going through it right now.
Yeah. It's ugly. So, but yeah, just let's just try to do the right thing for each other, because ultimately, you know, we're in this together. I know a lot of people don't want to think that, but we are. We're in it together. We're on this planet together, and we share this planet. Why can't we just get along? What the heck, man? So then you see all the stuff going on in China right now with the protesters and stuff, and people are fighting because they're done with the COVID lockdown. Please. I mean, it started there, and they're still on lockdown. That's crazy. I don't blame them for being miserable and disgusted. And then, you know, they're taking the people. If one person gets COVID, they're coming to get your whole family, and they're putting you in a camp until they decide when they're going to let you out. Until they decide. And they're building all of these, like their warehouses that they're building right now to put the people in. It's crazy. It is sad. And so we just got to pray for our brothers and sisters overseas. I mean, they want to be normal. They want to have a normal life, and this is something's going on bad over there, and I don't know what it is, but it's a lot of people in China. And when you see all these people fighting back with the government, that's unusual. They were very afraid to do that, but not, you know, it's so bad they don't care anymore. Those kids are out there standing up. Same thing in Iran. Just out in the streets, standing up. They want to be treated right. People are tired of you or the government's dictating their life. And you know, and especially when you have a dictator, not a, you know, a democracy, but a dictator, you know, so that's, it's a sad situation. And I really, you know, I pray for, you know, I'm praying for us, because we have two different situations here with our Republicans and Democrats. They're acting like we're two different countries. But no, we're one country. And if you listen to, it's that one nation under God, indivisible, undivided.
That don't mean nothing to them.
With liberty and justice for all, not just for you and your cousin and your child and your best friend, for all. You know, and so get over this. With, you know, I mean, if you can't sing that if you're going to do the other. And so I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to get on this. I'm getting Don's feathers going.
I love it when you do because that lets me. I mean, that lets me know that you know, it's not that we just play music. And we play music, and we talk about, we have certain topics that we talk about.
Well, we're mixing it up.
We're aware of the social issues that are going around.
Yeah,
and
we're mixing it up.
That's a beautiful thing. Yeah, and you never know who needs to hear, you know, what you just said. So yeah. I think it's just, to me, it keeps my sanity. You know, people, it's funny, all these insane things go on, to talk about it kind of keeps your sanity. It keeps it a level to where, you know, maybe it's more about power and this and this and this. You know, it's not about a democracy. You know, it's not about that piece of paper called the Constitution and all of these amendments that they wrote about it, that I guess 80% of them were slave owners. But at the same time, you try to uphold it. You want to uphold the truth from what the Constitution said. And when you don't abide by it, then, you know, you have to let people know. You know, and it's about an awareness, man, and that's the bottom line. Don't get me started, but again, it's about an awareness. And again, a lot of people aren't aware.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't want to be aware.
Yes.
You're staying alive. I hear the music in the background.
That's right. They say, we're going to stay alive. That's the BGs in the background. Come on, y'all. Yeah, tell them we got to stay alive. Anyway, this is Don Fleming and Wardell Posse, and we're mixing it up here on Soul Americas Radio. How much we love you and appreciate you here. And so what that means is we're going to be playing all different types of music and different topics.
All different types.
All different kind of conversations. So if you guys have any thoughts, anything you want us to talk about, send us some questions, and we'll try to answer your questions, all right? All right, so we're going to mix it up, playing different music here on Soul Eye Records Radio. This is your boy, Don Fleming and Wardell Potts. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Yeah. Got a man in prison, full of facts.
You ready, Ron?
I'm ready.
You ready, Dale?
I'm ready, Slick. Are you?
Oh, yeah. Take it down.
Girl, I must warn you. I sense something strange in my mind.
Yeah. Yo.
Situation is serious. Let's kill it, cause we're running out of time.
Yeah, and I can't forget about my boy, D-Brown.
and Mrs. Jones. We got a thing going on. We both know that it's wrong, but it's much too strong to let it go now. We meet every day at the same cafe, 6:30, and no one knows she'll be there, holding hands, making all kinds of plans, while the jukebox plays a favorite song. Me and Mrs. Jones. We got a thing going on. We both know that it's wrong, but it's much too strong to let it go now. We gotta be extra careful that we don't build our hopes up too high, 'cause she's got her own obligations, and so do I. Me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing. But it's much too strong to let it go now. Well, it's time for us to believe it. It hurts so much, it hurts so much inside. Now she'll go her way, and I'll go mine. Tomorrow we'll meet the same place, the same time. Me and Mrs. Jones. Got a thing going on. We gotta be extra careful
just before we go all the separate ways. One last word, baby, just before we go all the separate ways. You more than I do. No one man going to embrace.
Wow. That reminds me of my buddy Teddy Lee Hooker back in California. And we used to go and jam the blues together all the time. And I loved playing with Teddy. He was an amazing guitarist and singer. And Blues Mobile Band, and that's called Love. I love you, baby. And man, oh man, I'm telling you, I didn't like the blues when I was younger, but as I got older. And then Teddy asked me to play. I was like, the blues? Dude, I never played the blues. I said, I play jazz with the blues. And so then I started going to a couple of his sets, and I said, oh, yeah, I could do that, I guess. And it's just laid back and just, you know, and just letting the guitar and the singer just take you there. And you follow that pulse and just get into that groove. And it's
right.
Just, woo. It's just so nice. It's so nice. But anyway, so as we were talking earlier, we were sharing our thoughts about politics, which really gets Don going, you know. And so let me see.
Oh,
so there's a question. Yeah, there's a question for you somewhere. How do you both feel about the laws? How do you both feel about the... Let me see. There was another one. He says, how do you both feel it involves with attitudes or laws? I think attitudes. That's what they said. I think it's attitudes. Do laws allow attitudes, or do attitudes allow laws? Are you grasping this, Don?
Yeah, it's registering right now.
Okay.
I think I get what the question is being asked. The easy way to answer that, I think, you know, you act, you know, the mores and the mores of a society, of a culture, once you know what's considered okay and what's not considered okay, then you bring those into laws. Now, breaking any of those mores are probably about the attitude, you know. But laws are implemented. I don't think laws are implemented because of attitude. I think they're just implemented because of the mores of our culture and society as a whole. And I'm hoping, and I hope I'm not, you know, I'm misinterpreting it, because, you know, our laws, I know people like to ask the question, are laws made because of our attitude, because of the attitude we have? Are the laws implemented because we have attitudes against those laws? And I don't think it's that black and white. I think, again, it's the nuances as far as our mores and values of the society that we're in. And, you know, and a lot of folks say, of course, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal and things like that. You know, you got those, of course, those are commandments, from the commandments. But, you know, I think when you look at it from a holistic level, it's about just the society as a whole, and it doesn't necessarily deal with the attitude. To me, it's the more of the mentality behind going against those values, you know. And I don't think attitude plays a part in it at all. I think the laws that are implemented is based on the societal laws, the what we deal with from a societal standpoint has nothing to do with the attitude. If I'm getting it correctly.
Okay. Well, you know, that's Don's forte, and so I'm going to leave it right there and leave it right there. And I just want to, once again, we got about 24 minutes left in the show. Tomorrow, you hear it, we got blues tomorrow, and indie artists and all that jazz tomorrow. We may have a guest. Maybe have a surprising guest. We don't know yet. We're trying to work it out, so we'll see what happens if it works out. Because I've been waiting, going back and forth with this guest. So we'll see what happens. Whatever happens, we're gonna have some good music. That's for sure. We're gonna jam it up. So thank you guys again for tuning in today, and I want to thank also my friend Laura for calling in and sharing her thoughts. Earlier in the show, and Phoenix also for calling in earlier and, you know, doing what he does. He loves to talk about these things. And we love to mix it up, Don and I. So, Don, are you in the system yet?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you got the next block. You want the next block?
Yeah, I'll take it.
He's going to take it. I'm giving it to you.
I'll take it.
You have to take it. I mean, give it to you.
I appreciate it. Well, excuse me, I have to clear my throat. Clear my throat.
But you have to start before you want to go to it?
No. You hear it in the background. Right. We got it. Let's give you a classic from the bubbly Miss Alicia Myers. I'm going to go ahead and finish coughing. But hey, this block is all mine. Of course, we are mixing it up on a Tuesday. You guys keep it locked right here, Soul Art Records Radio.
build your dreams to the stars above. But when you need someone true to love, don't go to strangers, darling. Come on to me. Play with fire till your fingers burn. And when there's no place for you to turn, don't go to strangers, darling. Come on to me. For when you hear a call to follow your heart, you follow your heart, I know. I've been through it all, and I'm an old hand, and I'll understand if you go. So make your mark for your friends to see. But when you need more than company, don't go to strangers. Come on to me.
Give you a little classic jazz. Of course, that is from the lovely Miss Etta Jones, 1960, all the way back to 1960. Don't Go to Strangers, one of my all-time favorite songs, period, not just jazz songs. What a beautiful song, a beautiful woman, just a great vibe. And of course, before I gave you some easy listening from 1979, 1980, from Mr. Christopher Cross, Ride Like the Wind, and of course started off the block that Wardell just kindly let me graciously do. Alicia Myers, of course, Say, You Get the Best from Me. We got about 9 minutes left of the show. It's going to wrap it up for us, man, but thank you guys for tuning in. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. What is it, Indie Blues and All That Jazz? That's what you're calling it now? That's what the show called now?
Yeah, that's what it's called.
That's what it's called.
That's what it's called, guys. We love y'all and appreciate you guys so much. And we look forward to tomorrow, our Indie Jazz show. Man, I was really looking forward to your sister calling in today. I hadn't talked to her. How's she doing? She good?
She's fine. As a matter of fact, she is the She just got a job as an assistant DON, director of nursing, in the town probably about 50 miles away. And she's been going, she's been doing that. So, my niece, of course, her daughter is, of course, she's a graduating senior, and she is, she's being offered all these scholarships now. Girl is smart as all get out. She's taking AP courses. She is think student body president or senior class president. I mean the girl's got a lot going for her right now. We just got a couple of scholarships. she got a couple of scholarships. And you know, from a private institution. And she's got a couple from the University of Texas system. So she's just going to decide and kind of just weigh it out and just see what other offers are going to be out there for her. And, man, I'm just so proud of her. I'm proud of, you know, I'm proud of both of them and what and my nephew also. So, and just to be a full-time mom, having a full-time job 50-some-odd miles away, you know, and just keep doing what she's doing. I mean, it's a testament to her perseverance, and I admire that.
Awesome,
that's my baby sister.
That's my baby sister. That's my baby girl. That's my baby girl. All right. Well, you know, good luck to your niece and your sister, and God bless all you guys. And listen, guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your evening, wherever you may be, afternoon, or just, you know, depending on where you are in the globe and stuff. I also want to pray for our brothers and sisters over in Hawaii as they have two, what do you call those things again, son? You know, the mountains are opening up over there. What do you call it, you know? What do you call it, man?
Volcano?
Yeah, two volcanoes going simultaneously. It's like, whoa. So we got to keep them in prayer. It's ugly over there.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not know. See, I love being on this because you keep me on my toes, man, when it comes to stuff like that. So I'm going to have to look that up. Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely send prayers. I mean, I believe what you said, but again, sending prayers. I did not know about mm-hmm. you know, these volcanoes being erupted and whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, again, that's just the beauty of you know, yeah, we just don't play music. We talk about things. We talk about things that concern us. And, you know,
amen.
That's the beauty of our show.
Well, we love you guys, and we thank you for being the best part of Solar Records Radio. And if you enjoyed the show, tell a friend about it. Have them come out and hang out with us here on Solar Records Radio. Thanks, Greg. Thanks to Don and Phoenix. Appreciate you, brothers, for making this happen. And you all have a good night and take care. And we'll catch you later on Solar Records Radio. Good night and God bless. Are you, Don, are you closing this out? Are you playing that music?
You want me to?
No, I think I got it.
You got it? Okay.
I got it right there. Hair Deluxe. Good night.
Silent night, holy night, all is come, all is bright. Mother and child, oh.
Sleep in heavenly peace.